Vision Sunday
for us as a church family. It's just that time of year. We usually have Vision Sunday in January and also in September as well, because in September, it's usually the time of year where we restart everything, isn't it? We get back into the swing of things. And so this morning, I just want to share a word that God's dropped on my heart for us as a church family as we head into the latter part of 2025 and as we even come into 2026. And this morning, I just want to share from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 2, we'll be reading from this morning. Mark chapter 2, and we're going to be reading from verse 18 to 22. And it says this. It says, "Once, when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, 'Why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do?' Jesus replied, 'Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. For the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins." You know, this week, my little cousin started school. I can't believe it. He started school. He's so grown up already, and I can't believe how quickly the time has gone. But on Monday this week, my cousin, he went with my auntie and uncle. They went shopping, apparently. This is what my grandmother told me. They went shopping, and they went to get him some new trainers ready for school. And in the morning, apparently, he was having a conversation with my grandmother and with his sister. And his sister said to him, "Can you believe it? You've only got 2 days until school, until you start school. Are you excited?" And apparently, he said to his sister, he said, "No, I'm not going to school in 2 days. No, I'm not ready. 10 days. 10 days time, and then I'll start school. But no, not in 2 days time." And he has gone to school, obviously, this week. He went, unfortunate for him, but he went along to school for the first time. I've seen some of the photos. He looked so handsome, fair play. He looked so grown up as well, and couldn't believe it that he has started school. But as I began to think about him starting school, I began to think about my own first day at school. I can vaguely remember little bits of that day. If I'm being honest with you, I know that I was excited for it beforehand, but my parents will tell you, I think I was dreadful on that first day going. I was crying, I was upset, I didn't like it very much at all. Starting school, I hated it. I wasn't that fussed. But you know, my parents did something to convince me to go back to school the next day. They bribed me. Can you believe my parents would do that? They didn't kids this morning, so we'll pray for them. I'm sure they've asked for forgiveness for it. But they bribed me to go back to school the very next day. They bought me a toy. Can you believe how spoiled I am? They bought me a toy. There it is right there. That's not the actual one. It is. It's what I had, but that's not a photo of it. I don't have it anymore. But they bought me a Batman toy because I loved Batman growing up. So they bought me this Batman toy. I often think about it. But it's funny, isn't it, how little things can stick in your mind. But you know, as I thought back on my first day of school and thought about my cousin this week starting school, you know, I thought about, you know, I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't looking forward to it. I like being home, like being with my parents. I wasn't ready to start school. But as I began to think about that this week, I thought about how many times in my life there's been things that have been coming up, but I'm not ready for it. Have you ever felt like that? You know that there are things ahead of you and you're just not ready for it. Maybe it's starting school. Maybe it's going back to school. Maybe it's starting university. Maybe you're not looking forward to it. Maybe you don't feel ready for it. Maybe you're starting a new job. Maybe you're not looking forward to it. You're nervous. You know, will anybody like me? Will I do my job well? Maybe you don't feel ready about starting the next chapter of your life. Maybe you're nervous about a new place that you've moved to. You know, there are times in our lives where we aren't ready, is it? There are times in our lives where we try to delay the inevitable, where we stop what's coming, where we push back and we ask, can we just have a little bit more time? I'm not quite ready for it yet. I know many people feel like that, even starting back to work in September. Can we have a bit more summer? Can we have a bit more sun? I'm sure you've been praying that like me. I hate this rain this morning, but we're not quite ready for things to begin. Well, you know, this morning, as we come to this passage of scripture in Mark's gospel, we see that something very similar is happening here. There's a group of people who aren't ready for what's to come. Now, we see just a bit of context for us here this morning. Jesus, at this point in Mark's gospel, he's becoming very well known. The Bible says the crowds are following him everywhere. People are listening to him as he's going around to different villages and towns and he's preaching. And not only that, Jesus is performing miracles. Lives are being changed. That's what our Savior does. He changes lives and miracles are happening. And there's this wonderful movement. God is here. God is in the flesh. The Messiah, who the Jewish people have been looking for many, many years and believing for. This Messiah would come and rescue them. He was finally here. Jesus was here. But you know what's interesting? With all these good things that are happening at this moment in time, not everyone understands Jesus. Not everyone understands who he is or what he is doing. It says this in verse 18 once again of Mark chapter 2. It says, once when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and like the Pharisees do? Now, if you're new to church, you might be a little bit unfamiliar about what it's on about here with regards to fasting. We've actually just come off as a church family a week of prayer and fasting. But fasting is a time when usually people go without food for an extended period of time. And they spend that time, instead of eating or all these things, they spend that time focusing on God. That's what fasting is. It's about humbling ourselves and growing closer to God. It's about opening our hearts and saying, God, I want more of you than this in my life. I want to know you and hear you a little bit more clearly in my life. And so these people come along and they ask, they're serious about it. They're serious about following God. They're serious about fasting. And so they come along and they ask Jesus, why aren't your followers, Jesus? Why aren't these disciples? Why aren't they fasting? Why aren't they as serious as John's disciples? And they say here, why aren't they as serious as the Pharisees? They come with this question to Jesus. Why aren't they fasting? As this group of people come along, they see that Jesus' disciples were actually eating. They were enjoying themselves. They were celebrating. And to this group of people, it looked wrong. They shouldn't be doing this. They should be fasting like the Pharisees, the religious teachers of the day. They should be fasting like John's disciples. And so they asked this question to Jesus. They come to Jesus and said, why aren't they doing it? Why aren't they fasting like all the other religious people? And so Jesus replies to the question. Jesus answers the question. And Jesus gives them an image that they all at that time would have understood. It says in verse 19 of Mark 2, it says, Jesus replied, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them. Now think about that. You know, in our culture, a wedding is a one-day event. Georgina and I have just celebrated our first wedding anniversary, but this year seems to have been a year of weddings for us. We've been to a lot of weddings. I've officiated a wedding of Ellen and Reese this year, and been to Alex and Mel's wedding this year, and we went to Georgina's friend's wedding as well. It's been a year of weddings, and they're amazing. I love going to a wedding. But you know, for us here in the UK, a wedding, a ceremony, is just a one-day event. You go to the ceremony, you enjoy the meal, you have a dance at the end, and then you're done. You go home or you stay at the place and then you go home. But in Jesus' time, weddings were big celebrations. In Jewish culture, there was big celebrations in the Middle East. A wedding was a big celebration. A wedding in Jesus' time, it didn't last for one day, but it often lasted a whole week. Can you imagine that? A week of celebrations. Imagine going to your boss and saying, I can't work this week. I've got to have a week of wedding. That's all that it is. But a wedding lasted a whole week and everybody was there. The whole village was there. Everybody was part of the wedding. There was music, there's food, there was joy. It was just celebration everywhere. Now, can you imagine in Jesus' time, if there was this wedding going along, and all of a sudden, you go along to this wedding, there's all this food there, a wonderful banquet, and you turn up and you say to the host, you say to the guests, you say to the groom and bride, sorry, thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward, but I can't eat anything. Can you imagine going there? Can you imagine how ridiculous you would look going to this wedding and saying, I can't enjoy any of this. I can't eat any of this. Sorry, I'm fasting instead. I'm sure they'd give you a silly look, wouldn't they? I'm sure that you'd never be invited to anything ever again. It wouldn't make sense at all. You know, weddings, they weren't about sorrow. Weddings were about joy. And Jesus here, he gives them this picture. He says, I have finally come. He says, this is what he's trying to say here. This is what it's like with me here. He says, I'm the groom. He says that you are the bride. He says, the waiting is over. You don't have to fast in this moment anymore. You don't have to wait any longer. He says, the true time of joy has finally come. There's no longer mourning. The Savior has come. The Messiah is here. It's a time for celebration. And that's what Jesus says here to these people. He says, you don't have to fast. It's a time of celebration. But then Jesus takes it a little bit deeper as he addresses this question of why aren't they fasting. He takes it a little bit deeper and he says this, which is quite interesting. He says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. Now you might say, why is Jesus talking about wine here? Well, in Jewish culture, wine was central to every celebration. It wasn't just a drink to drink just so you could get drunk, but in Jewish culture, wine was a symbol of joy. Wine was a symbol of abundance. Wine was a symbol of life. It was a sign. Wine was a sign of God's blessing. I'm sure you remember the first miracle that Jesus performed, the turning of water into wine. You know, if wine ran out during a wedding, then it would be looked down upon and it would be a signal to everybody. If there was no wine left in the wedding, it'd be a signal that the celebration is over, that it's time to go home. And you know what's interesting here is that back in Jesus' time, wine wasn't kept in bottles. It wasn't in Tesco's. They didn't have Tesco's or Morrison's in those days. New Morrison's coming to Aberdeen, by the way. But they didn't have these shops. Just a little plug there. I know my wife loves Morrison's. But they didn't have wine on the shelves there. And I don't drink, so I'm not interested in it. But they didn't have wine in bottles like it was back then. But back in Jesus' time, it's interesting that wine, it wasn't kept in bottles, but it was kept in these leather bags here. It was kept in these leather bags, which were made from animal skin. In fact, it was usually goat skin. And when the skin was new, the skin of the animal, it was soft. It was flexible. And as the wine fermented, it expanded and the wine skins began to stretch. That's how they would store wine in those days. But history tells us that once the wine skin gets old, then the wineskin, after a period of time, it becomes a little bit brittle. And if you start pouring new wine into an old wineskin, which is brittle and rugged and firm and all these things, and starts to have holes in it, then it would build up, the pressure would build up, and eventually the wineskin would burst. So not only would the wine be ruined, but the wineskin as well, that would be ruined also. And Jesus makes this comment here. He says, new wine calls for new wineskins. What's Jesus talking about here? Is he talking about the wedding? Again, what's Jesus going on about? Why is he making this little illustration when he's answering this question about fasting here? What does he mean by this new wine needs new wineskins? What's Jesus talking about here? Well, if you actually read all of Mark chapter 2, you'll see that at that time, Jesus is causing a bit of a stir. Jesus has already healed a paralyzed man. Jesus is going around telling people that he can forgive them of their sins, which was a shock to the religious leaders of the day because they believed only God can forgive sins. And we know that Jesus is God, but they didn't believe that at that time. Jesus is causing a stir because he calls this man called Levi, or Matthew, who was a tax collector, a Jewish man who was a tax collector. And Jesus goes up to him and asks him to follow him, to be his disciple. And this would have caused a stir because everybody would have thought of Matthew as being a traitor to the Jewish people, of working for Rome in that time. And to add insult to injury, Jesus is causing a bit more of a stir because he goes to this tax collector's house, who is hated by everybody at that time. He goes to his house and he invites all kinds of sinners with him, all different types of people that society would look down upon. Jesus has a meal with them. Jesus enjoys fellowship with them. Jesus enjoys spending time. And these religious people at the time, they can't get their head around it. What is Jesus doing? If he's the Messiah, if he's God, what is he doing hanging around with this type of people? What is Jesus doing? And so when we get to this question about fasting when these people come and they ask this question about fasting. It's not a random question. What these people are saying, these religious people are basically saying to Jesus is, why don't you and your disciples fit into our box? Why aren't you behaving in the way that we expect you to behave? Why aren't you acting in the way that we think that you should act? Why aren't you acting like the rest of the religious people? Jesus here is teaching them something. Jesus wants to show these people something. The God isn't interested in fitting into human boxes. God isn't interested in fitting into old boxes. Jesus wants to show them here with this question. He wants to show them a bigger picture. Jesus, when he says this to these people who are asking this question, Jesus is actually announcing something. Jesus is announcing that with him, the kingdom of God has arrived. The God has come. Jesus is announcing to these people that God has come not to patch up old religion, but Jesus has come to bring about a new way of life, a new way of believing and serving and following God. Jesus is announcing here that these old wineskins, so to speak, the rigid, brittle, stuck in tradition way of doing things. He's saying that the old systems of doing things, they can't contain what God is going to do through his son. That Jesus is going to bring about a new way of doing things. And so when Jesus here is talking about wine and wineskins, he's not just talking about wine and some old leather bags. He's talking about God's kingdom. He's saying God's kingdom is about to break in. And he's basically saying to these people, these religious people, he's saying to them, will you make room for it? He's saying to them, will you let me make you new so I can pour into you in a new way, so I can do a new thing in your life? He's basically asking these people, when he brings up this question about new wine and new wineskins, he's basically asking them, are you ready for the new thing that's coming? Are you ready for the new? And you know, on this Vision Sunday, I just want to share with you that I feel that God's been asking me that question. I feel that's something that God's been asking me over this summer period. You know, I've been preparing and praying for this message for a long time. You can ask my wife, she'll verify it. I've been stressing, praying, planning, thinking about this for a long time. You know, every year I do a report for us as a church family, actually in January or June, and it's mainly just for us as an oversight to share it and just to see where everybody is, where we are in our walk with God, and see who's taken the next steps, who's been baptized, who's become partners, how many people are coming along, all these sort of things. And you know, I've been praying about, God, where are you leading us next? God, what is to come? And you know, as I've been praying over this, I've got to be honest, I felt a little bit stuck. I felt a little bit frustrated. I felt even a little bit stagnant. You know, as a church family, we've seen new faces come along to our church. God's done wonderful things. I've said it in many Vision Sundays. To see the growth in our church has been incredible. And we give God all the glory for that. God has been building his house here. But you know, I've just felt this year a little bit, even in my own life, that it hasn't felt like we still got that momentum a little bit. It hasn't felt like we're moving towards the promise of God as we have been in the past. And so, over the summer holidays, I've been praying. I've been planning. I've been working on a few things. But as I've been doing that, every time I come to the end of it, I just feel frustrated. I just feel like, I don't think this is right. God, I just don't feel like this is right. And yesterday, even as I was just praying over this message, I think I rewrote it. I don't know how many times. It was up till late, wasn't I, last night? And yeah, you said you missed hanging out with me. So I apologize, George, for that yesterday. But I was just so frustrated. And I just thought, Lord, I just want a clear word from you. And I was just tired. I was frustrated. And I just didn't feel like I was doing the right thing. And so George and I last night, it was about 9 o'clock, something like that. We went out for a walk, 8 o'clock around that time. We went for a walk. We went around the estate. And as we just went out for a walk, it was pretty windy last night. I don't know if you've seen that. Pretty windy yesterday, wasn't it? But we went out for a walk last night and we just walked hand in hand, quiet together. And as we were walking, I was just, in my mind, I was just praying, Lord, I just need something from you. God, I just need something from you. And in that moment, I just felt the Holy Spirit say something simply to my heart and into my mind. And I just felt God remind me, what we need most isn't new systems, it isn't new structures or anything like that. What you need most is him. We need him more than anything. We need him more than anything. Reports are helpful. Plans are helpful. Next steps are helpful. And I have changed them a little bit, and I'll share about that in the coming weeks. But only the Holy Spirit can save people. Only God, by His Spirit, can stir a fresh passion for Jesus. Only He can build His church and bring about growth. And you know, I was reminded last night as we went on our walk, God's going to do it. I believe He is going to do it. And I believe this morning that God's given me a word for us as a church family. And I believe this is for you. Specifically, you can take it for everybody else, but I believe this is for you. I believe the word of the Lord to us this morning is, new wine is coming. New wine is coming. What do I mean by new wine? I mean that there's going to be a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. I believe that God is going to pour out His Spirit. I believe that God's going to move in a way that we haven't seen as a church family for a long, long time. I believe that God's going to do something new. I believe God is going to do something new in His church. I believe He's going to do it in His nation. In fact, He's already doing it. We as a church family, we've seen signs of God moving, haven't we? Salvations, baptisms, partnerships. That's not chance. That's God moving on hearts and lives. But God's also doing it nationally as well. I've got some, I don't know if I've got some pictures, I think, on the screen, if that's possible. You might have seen some of these headlines in the news recently. Gen Z leads rise in church attendance. I think that's a move of God. I think that's new wine, God moving in a new way. The quiet revival, which is called. God's moving in the UK. Look at that from the Times. This was 2 weeks ago, this was. Full fat faith. The young Christian converts filling our churches. In other words, young people are filling churches right across the UK because they're desperate for God. They want God. They want the real thing. They don't want services or hype or anything like that. They want God. They want God, and God is moving in our nation. God is moving in a powerful way. But as I've been praying for us as a church family, I just felt God say, new wine is coming to Gateway Church Cymru. I believe that God is going to pour out His Spirit amongst us once again. I believe that God's going to get us ready for all that is to come. I believe that God's going to bring about new life. I believe that God's going to bring about new joy in Jesus. I believe that God's going to bring about a new hunger for Jesus, which only He can do. You know, there's a passage of scripture that we have heard within our church family. Look at it. We've seen growth, and we thank God for that. But this is a passage of scripture that has been repeated many times within our church in recent years. Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 19, it says this. God says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I'll make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. I believe new wine is coming. I believe that God's going to do a new thing amongst us here in Gateway Church, in Aberama. God's going to pour out His Spirit in a new and a fresh way. There's new life, new joy coming. But I believe God asked me a question, and I believe it's for us this morning. And I believe that not God is going to pour out new wine. But the question for us this morning, as Jesus said there, He says new wine requires new wineskins. If new wine is going to come, then it needs a new container to hold what it's going to do, to hold that wine. And I believe that Jesus says that in Mark 2:22, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. What are new, or what are old wineskins? What are the old wineskins for us? Well, old wineskins are the habits, the mindsets, the ways of doing things that once worked, but can no longer hold what God is going to do. New wineskins are basically our hearts and our lives, which get rigid. It's where we get comfortable, and it's where we stay stuck in our old ways. We like doing the same old things, but I've got news this morning that new wine can't be filled into old wineskins. That if God's going to move amongst us, then something needs to change. Because unless we change, unless our lives change, unless we open up our hearts to God, then we'll break and we'll fall apart. But we see here that God says here that new wine requires new wineskins. And I believe that God is saying to us that He's going to pour out His Spirit. But I believe God is calling us to have new wineskins. In other words, to open up our hearts afresh, to get ready for what God is going to do, to be flexible once again for God to move in our lives, to allow God to stretch us. I believe God's been stretching me over this summer holiday, stretching me, been challenging me to keep growing, to not stay stuck in my old ways, to keep seeking after him. I believe God's been, even last week in our prayer meeting, I felt the Holy Spirit say, and I know this is personal, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, Luke, loosen your grip a little bit, trust in me a little bit more. And I feel like God's been asking me, saying to me, Luke, you need a new wineskin for all that I am going to do. Luke, you need to stretch a little bit, ready for all that is about to come. The old way of doing things isn't going to work. You're going to have to open up and open your heart for all that I am going to do. And I believe that it's the same question for us this morning, that if God is going to move, then we need to open up our lives. I believe today that God is asking us to get ready for what's to come. That's actually the vision for us as we head into this latter part of this year. I'm believing for a church of 1,000 people. But I believe that before God sends 1,000 people, he wants his current people to be ready. He wants us to be ready for all that he is going to do. It's no good us reaching out if we aren't growing ourselves, if we aren't taking our next steps, if we aren't seeking the Lord and surrendering our lives to him. It's no good if we aren't willing to grow and we're saying, God, send more people, but we aren't growing ourselves. I believe God's asking us to be new wineskins. I believe God's asking us to stretch and prepare to get ready for all that's to come. How can we do this? How can we get ready? Well, as we come to a conclusion this morning, how can we get ready for all that's to come? First of all, we need to pray first. We need to pray. We need to surrender our lives afresh. And that's what we did last week with our week of prayer and fasting. We're ultimately saying, God, we need you. God, I'm humbling myself. God, I need you once again within my life. How can we get ready for what God is going to do? Well, I want to encourage you to take your next steps. At the back, we've got next steps cards. Fill one of those in. If you haven't been baptized, don't make an excuse. Jesus has commanded, if you're a follower of Jesus, be baptized. If you're not already part of a church family, I encourage you, get planted in the house of the Lord, because God wants you to flourish. God wants to bless you and use you. If you aren't serving in a church ministry and you're able to, I encourage you to serve, because Jesus was the greatest servant of all, and he's our ultimate example. Serve others, love other people, help other people, grow and take your next steps. I want to encourage you, come along to small groups. This is how we can become new wineskins for all that God's going to do. We're going to learn, we're going to grow, we're going to open up our hearts, we're going to get involved, we're not going to stay away. We're going to come along and be a part of a community and allow God to work in our lives. I want to encourage you, sign up for small groups. How are we going to get ready as a church for God to move? We're also going to raise up and release new leaders, because we need people who are stepping into ministry and stepping into all that God has. And, you know, I'm excited to say that this evening is a group of people who I've asked in our church family to come along to a new leaders course that we are doing, because we are raising up leaders in this church. And I thank God for that. They are people who have come along to our church, who are planted in our church, who love Jesus, who serve, who support the vision and a part of this church. And I'm so excited to have invited these people. We're going on an 8-week course. And please pray for the new leaders who we're raising up. And we just trust in that God will speak and stir and just reveal callings in people's lives. Because I want to say this morning, this isn't a one-man band or a handful of people. It's a body this morning. We're the family of God. We've all got parts to play. God wants to use each and every one of us. So we're getting ready. We're raising up leaders who can help to minister to new people and raise new disciples up. So we go in for that as a church family. How else can we be ready? Well, I want to say next year, the start of next year, we're releasing a new course to reach out to people in our community. We're going to evangelize and witness to our community, share the gospel with those around us. And I want to say, don't have to wait till next year. Do it later. Tell people about Jesus as well. But we're going to reach out. We're going to focus on that next year. How else are we getting ready for what God is going to do? Well, I said at the start of January, by 2026, I'm praying for a second service, because that word that God laid on my heart is that we'll be bursting at the seams. And I'm believing for that. I trust God with his word. I'm trusting that he'll fulfill his word. And I'm believing that this place will be so packed out that we'll have to have a second service to contain all that God is doing. And we're already working and praying about, God, what's that going to look like? How can we raise up people to help with that? We want to get ready for all that God is going to do. And so as we come to a conclusion this morning, on Sunday, September the 7th, 2025, I believe this is a turning point for us as a church family. We're not just going to hold on to the promise of 1,000. We're going to prepare for it. God, you've said it. We'll get ready for it. God, we believe you are going to do it. I pray that this morning we would say, Lord, make me a new wineskin. Help me to be a new wineskin, Lord. Work in my heart. Make me soft again. Help me to be flexible again so that, God, when you pour out your spirit, I won't miss it. God, help me to be a new wineskin that'll be used for you. Isaiah 54, verse 2-3 says this. Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home and spare no expense, for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. Stretch, strengthen, enlarge, grow. Let's open up our hearts and say, Lord, we want to do that for you. We want to open our hearts. Isaiah 60, verse 22. The smallest family will become 1,000 people. And the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, the Lord will make it happen. God's going to do it, but we need to get ready. Haggai 2, verse 9, the promise of God. This temple is going to end up far better than it started out. A glorious beginning, but an even more glorious finish. A place in which I will hand out wholeness and holiness. Decree or promise of God of the angel armies. And so today, the call is simple. As we come to a conclusion this morning, the call is simple. I believe the Lord would ask you this morning, will you open up your heart and say, Lord, make me new. Lord, fill me again. I'm ready for the new wine. I open up my heart. I surrender to you. Do what only you can do in my life, Lord. And may I be a vessel that will bring glory and honor to your name. If we stretch, if we open up our hearts, then he will fill us with new wine.